Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable. We continue talking baseball with our friend Brad Burns, and we're talking about the New York Mets, who apparently, Mr. Burns, are going to throw caution and bone spurs and bone chips and maybe some shoulders and elbows to the wind. Steven Matz and Noah Syndergaard, we know they aren't healthy. And
those
yet
are the ones we know of.
Pitch on, fellers.
During the College World Series, I looked up. I was watching a game, and the pitcher went to about 115 pitches. And was watching the game, and I thought, I wonder – I don't follow him anymore on Twitter, but I wonder what Keith Law has to say, because he's ranted.
Oh, he hates the guy at Arizona.
Yes, he has ranted before.
Oh yes.
So I looked him up on Twitter, and he of course was going off as he should, honestly. And he said, no professional organization would do this to pitchers,
except
it seems the New York Mets. The problem is that these guys, unfortunately, in today's game, and this is such a multifaceted issue, but unfortunately, these guys are expendable, which is crazy.
Absolutely.
They are expendable.
I'll tell you what, these young guys that you ain't got big money in are expendable.
Absolutely. They are expendable for a variety of reasons, one of which you just mentioned is the money. They don't have any money tied up, and who cares? I mean, we don't owe this guy $50 million over the next 3 years. It doesn't – I mean, so we're not going to protect him like we would if we did owe him that much money. We owe him $550,000 the next 3 years. Okay, no big deal. We'll take it. You know, if he can't pitch for us, we'll go get some other guy who's just as hungry to make the big leagues and will do anything he has to make it, including blowing himself up if he needs to. We'll put him in there, and then when that guy kind of, you know, he gets a little bit tired, or, you know, he's got some issues, and so, hey, we'll just run another guy out there. We got another guy in the draft that we got this year, and 2 years from now he'll be ready. We'll put him in there. We'll see how long he can go, and then we'll do it to the next guy. And that is, you know, in itself the major problem. These guys are expendable. Another facet to this is the ultimate in pitching – for the last 15 years is blowing up the radar gun. We see that at every level. We see that, you know, I overheard a conversation, you know, somebody was having with you about how hard Cadwell throws. You ever had a radar gun on him? And your answer was no. You know, I mean, could you put a radar gun on him? Yeah. It would be fun to find out how hard he throws. Yeah. But who cares? He's 11 years old. He's 11. Does he throw hard? You better believe he throws hard. He brings it. But he's 11 years old. Who on earth cares how hard an 11-year-old throws? Well, everybody, apparently. How hard does he throw? How hard does he throw? How hard does he throw? When you see guys get scouted, what's the first thing that pops up? How hard he throws. Not does he have any ability to pitch whatsoever. From the time they are 9 or 10 years old, the guys who get attention are the guys who throw hard.
Of course, my answer was, yeah, he throws hard. He pitches like crap.
Well, listen, the truth is it doesn't matter how hard you throw. And this is what John Smoltz brings out. I'm sure you've seen this article on USA Today. John Smoltz talking about these guys. Smoltz was big on this rotation a year ago, as well he should have been. And I remember watching MLB Network when he said, these guys are better than we were. Stuff-wise, they are far and away better than Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine. They are. There's no. I mean, you look at Greg Maddox. He's a nerd who threw 91 tops. You know, I mean, he's just a professor out there trying to pitch. I mean, you know, Glavine was a guy who nibbled around the corners at 92 or 93, and then later on in his career, 88, 89. You know, Smoltz was the only power pitcher out of those guys, and we really didn't see how much power he had until what? Until he went to the bullpen and could air it out. But
of course, he was also the only one of those guys who had surgery.
Yes, yeah, the old Tommy John got him. But you know, but the quest for velocity, and this is, I think, this is where I'm both cynical and angry all at the same time.
Oh, we like you angry,
yes,
mostly.
and unfortunately, this filters down to every level of baseball. We don't care can a guy learn how to throw the ball properly. We don't care about his mechanics. We saw a guy not long ago, and I commented to you. He's got an what we call an inverted L,
yep.
And it was not just sort of by default, like he didn't know what he was doing. He had been taught to stick his arm straight down, then drag it behind him as long as possible, and see how much whip you can create. He was 11 years old. There has been some pitching coach giving him lessons that has told him, here's how you can increase your velocity. And guess what? He threw hard. And he threw everything uphill, and everything was putting pressure on the elbow, which was way out in front of everything else, and then way behind everything else, and then never on time. And we're going to wonder why that kid, number one, when he's not big and strong and he can't throw it past everybody, number one, he doesn't know how to pitch, and number two, why does he get hurt?
Yeah, his arm is going to hurt.
Yes.
Probably already does.
Well, probably already does, but he can't admit it because he's throwing hard and his coach needs him to go again. Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing to me is ridiculous. We haven't even talked about the effect on the Mets. The whole issue to me is a sad commentary on where we are with the state of pitching in baseball at every level. All we care about, how hard does a guy throw? And listen, this is on Major League Baseball. This is on Major League Baseball, 100%. And the commissioner, this is on the commissioner. This is on Bud Selig. This is on Rob Manfred. This is on every general manager. This is on every scout. This is on Major League Baseball. And I'm not just going to blame Major League Baseball for the problems at the youth and high school and college levels, but those guys are trying to get there, and they believe the only way they can is to throw 98. And this is on Major League Baseball, because who is it that gets all the attention? The guys that throw hard. But who is it that's the best? Clayton Kershaw. Jake Arrieta. What do they throw? Not 99. Not 100 miles an hour. Not Thor. You know, again, it's just – it's epidemic and it's sad. And, you know, a guy like Greg Maddux wouldn't get drafted today. I mean, he might be a non-roster invitee to spring training, and then they say, hey, man, we need you to eat some innings at AAA. Can you help us? He wouldn't get a shot. And he is the best craftsman I've ever seen.
And the likelihood is that everybody in the Mets rotation, save Bartolo Colon, will be likely, if their innings of their career add up to half of what Maddox threw. All of them together.
Together. Oh, it's sad. I mean, you look at Matt Harvey, and he's a guy that sticks his arm way back, drag it forward. What's he doing this year? Struggling. He got nothing. Syndergaard, you know what? He'd throw that, man, he's got the hammer. Guess what? That hammer's going to fall off at some point. It's going to go flying through the air. Steven Matz, the same way, a lefty trying to, you know, well, again, and bone spurs. And now, and as you mentioned, now they're going to pitch through it?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying. They're trying to find a way to continue to pitch without surgery in season.
If you're even talking about the remote possibility, you know what, this guy's probably going to have surgery. And not only surgery, but season-ending surgery. Well, it's not like a scope. They'll clean a couple things up, and 3 months later you're back in.
Well, and with Matz, it's been an everyday thing. I mean, every week. It's like, you know, what's, you know, how is Matt's now?
Yeah. Oh, it.
And, of course, you've got Steven Strasburg hiding out down in Washington as if he hurt himself weightlifting.
Yes. The old back strain.
You know.
Yes. It's, you know, the upper back, by the way, is directly connected to the shoulder-ish area. Listen, it's a mess. I think the Mets are done. I mean, they're not good enough offensively.
No, they're not.
You know, they just brought in Jose Reyes. Yeah, that's, you know,
nice one.
I don't believe in karma, but that ain't good for you right there. You know, and again, their pitching staff is tenuous at best. I mean, you know, these guys are injuries waiting to happen. And Syndergaard has shown that when he can't just go out and throw it by you, he can't command the ball well enough to pitch. He doesn't know how.
And he's never been
required to know
that's
how.
That's right.
I mean, you know, if a guy from the time he's 19 can just throw it by literally everybody in college or the minors, why does he not need to know how to pitch?
The terrible irony and shame of all of this with the Mets is that all of these guys share a clubhouse with Bartolo Colon,
yes,
who grew up as the flamethrower,
yes,
who blew his arm out,
yep,
and the only reason he's still around for our amusement,
yes,
is because he learned how to pitch.
Learned how to pitch. And that's what Smoltz is talking about in this article on USA Today. And, you know, he says here, their stuff last year was off the charts, but you cannot do what those young guys did again with no experience and the mindset they are dealing with. The way baseball is played now, there's no way a young pitching staff can be prepared to do this. in theory, this would have been the year, not last year, where all the eggs are pointed in the right way and they dominated. What he's talking about is the fact they went all in last year and kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, throw more, throw more, throw more, throw more. And you remember the deal with Matt Harvey and the bravado, and then Terry Collins wouldn't take him out, and then they lost the game and all that kind of stuff. And you know, Smoltz is right. I mean, you know, if anybody can tell you about, hey, whoa, you know, it's John Smoltz. Well, he pitched with two Hall of Famers. He is a Hall of Famer.
And here's the thing. And, of course, we've covered this re-pitch counts and innings before a thousand times over.
Yes.
If your idea of manhood is how many pitches somebody can throw, you need to have yourself examined.
Yes. Yeah.
Get an MRI on your head.
On your head. Yeah.
And if, and the rest of it is if you think that's smart baseball, if you believe a professional baseball team, a Major League Baseball team, if you believe any pitcher throwing a 114th pitch is effective as another professional pitcher throwing his first, stay double.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Stay in
there. For your exam.
Seriously. Turn over. Yeah.
There's something wrong with you. And finally, if you are a Major League organization where the reality is one man throwing his 120th pitch is better than anybody else on your staff, stop playing ball.
You're in trouble. Yes. Fire your GM. Mets GM Sandy Alderson told reporters Tuesday that Syndergaard's bone spur is, quote-unquote, insignificant.
Of course it is, Sandy. It's not in your elbow.
It's not yours. Yeah, I've never had a bone spur, but, you know, they sound painful.
Well, that's why they call them spurs.
Yes, but Mets must decide whether he can tolerate the discomfort. If the pain becomes unbearable, he would undergo surgery and miss the rest of the season. If I were Steven Matz, it's unbearable.
That's right.
Got to go.
I'd like to have a career.
Yeah, if it's all the same to you, I'd like to get a paycheck one day that's a little more than league minimum. I mean, at what point do these guys and their agents
– That's shameful.
At what point does a dad – these guys, these are young men. Now, listen, they're grown men, okay? But – you know,
oh, yeah, Mr. Matz is coming down to the Matz office.
My son is 11. Your son is 11. Double that, okay, add 11 years. Yeah. And in 11 years, I will be 50 years old, okay? My son will be 22. And I will still have hopefully some wits about me. I would absolutely lose my mind on one of these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. I'll be that dad if I need to. You're just a little league dad. No, I'm not. I'm here because my son, who is a loyal – you know, want to play kind of guy, he's not able to do this for himself. He's not going to tell you that he – I mean, listen, what professional athlete have we ever seen – maybe there have been, but they don't come to my mind – who says, I'm not feeling it real good, you know, but, hey, man, look, we're 4.5 games out. We need you right now. Well, okay. I mean, what guy is not going to do that for – I mean, that's the competitor in every single professional athlete. You need somebody to step in and say, no, this is not going to happen. The problem is the general manager won't do it. Apparently Terry Collins won't do it. And the ownership won't hold them to this to say, these are our assets. These are the guys that long-term we could do some damage with, and you guys won't protect them.
Right. Well,
it's what can you do for me right now.
Well, and that's the thing is you're damaging long-term assets.
They don't care.
While you're pursuing – at the moment, mediocrity.
Yes.
They're not very good they're constituted.
No, they're not. Now, but if these guys are all on, sure.
But the reality of it is, unless these guys are healthy, they're not going to be effective. If they're not effective, the team's no good.
Yeah. That's exactly right. No, I'm not happy with the entire situation with pitching. You know, we talked before about what do you do with these young guys when it comes to contractual stuff and service time and so on. I think where I'm settling in on this, not even from those kind of things, but when should you bring a guy up? Just contract notwithstanding. I think position players should come up sooner and pitchers ought to be left down longer. Smoltz makes the point that these guys don't have the chance to pitch enough in the minor leagues to learn how to pitch, and then they come up because they've got such great stuff. And then what happens if that great stuff doesn't work? Now they're trying to figure out how to pitch at the major league level. I mean, anybody who's watching baseball sits back and it can't be that hard. Good Lord, it's impossible. You can't do it at the major. You can't learn the game at the major league level. You just can't do it. Hitters have, an easier chance there because it's not a skill that they're working on. It's going to hurt them if they don't do it right or they try harder and so on. Pitching, on the other hand, can hurt you if you're trying to do it the wrong way.
But now let me say this, and this is very, very important, and not that I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
but it is not enough to leave them in the minor leagues.
Oh, no, no, not
there.
Not
there, there has to be an organizational effort,
no question,
to help them learn to pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is going to put certain parameters on what they have to do.
If
how many, what kind of pitches we're going to call.
Yes.
What sort of situations we're going to put the guy in.
I don't know if this would work. But if I am the minor league pitching coordinator in conjunction with the general manager and Noah Syndergaard is in my system and he can throw 100 miles an hour, I require him to pitch a game throwing no pitches over 95. No pitches. Not a single one. That doesn't mean you throw off speed.
Right.
That means you don't throw a fastball over 95 miles an hour. And you're going to do that for the next three starts. And if you can't do that, then you will stay here until you can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You will do those things. You will pitch at less than 100% max. Because guess what? If you can do that, you will be more than 100% effective. Because, we want to protect our assets. We want guys who know how to pitch.
Well, and you've heard me talk about this before, and I think this is what we see widespread across the sport is now every guy he has fastball, changeup, curveball, or fastball, changeup, slider, whatever it is, and the fastball is the same speed all the time, the slider same speed all the time, changeup same speed all the time.
Yep.
It's all same arm angle.
Yep, everything.
Boom, 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 boom. It's all stock.
Yep, here it comes.
What guys used to do is you used to have guys who threw a fastball at 93, a fastball at 89, a fastball at 86.
It's Maddox. Yeah, I remember watching a game. I remember it distinctly, watching a game and just looking at the radar gun when Maddox was throwing. 91, 88, 90, 87. And it's all fastballs, all different speeds. You know, and Matt, I mean, the thing about Maddox, of course, he was not capable of what Noah Syndergaard is capable of. Let's just be honest. He couldn't do it.
Very small man.
But Noah Syndergaard is not capable of what Greg Maddox was capable of.
You ain't lying there.
Not even close.
Nor is he capable of replicating Greg Maddox's career. No, cannot do it.
Can't,
and Syndergaard can be a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
But he can't do what Maddox did.
Cannot do it. It will not happen. Syndergaard will flame out and never reach any kind of potential that he had. And he will be one of those guys that you say, well, boy, I tell you what, man, that Kerry Wood, that Mark Pryor, that Noah Syndergaard, boy, they sure were something when they first came up. But, you know, they just couldn't stay healthy.
Yep.
No, it's not because they couldn't stay healthy. It's because everybody wanted to see the show. They never learned how to pitch, and they threw the wrong way in the first place.
It's kind of like that fun rocket.
Yeah.
A lot of flames, a lot of excitement, leaving the ground.
Yep.
And then eventually it comes back under gravity.
Yes,
power.
It does, pretty quickly. Slamming down. I mean, this is a mess.
And you take a guy like Nolan Ryan, who is one of the great physical freaks of history, and Nolan is often the reference point for people. But if you'll take a look at Nolan's numbers, and the breaking point is about the time he became a National League pitcher. We saw it more with the Astros forward to the end of his career. But Nolan Ryan changed as a pitcher. And he became a pitcher. And you say, well, Travis, how do you know that? I keep hearing Nolan threw real hard all the way through his career. He did. Go check out his walk rate.
Yeah. Yeah. Nolan Ryan was not the greatest pitcher that ever lived. He's not one of the top 10 greatest pitchers that ever lived, probably.
But check out his walk rate as his career went to its conclusion.
Yes.
And he stopped throwing as many pitches.
He did. He couldn't. I mean, he recognized.
In the 1970s, when he was a California Angel, he literally either struck out or walked every batter.
That was it. It was crazy. Yeah. Now, but he learned how to pitch better.
Yeah.
Here's what Smoltz goes on to say. It's unbelievable with the mindset that exists today. The controlled effort to control injuries, it may sound good on paper, but it's a warped philosophy. We are training guys for sprints, not marathons. And then the article goes on to say this. Simply, we've fallen in love with the radar gun. Yeah. And it's preventing pitchers from learning how to pitch. And if the velocity drops or they feel pain from bone chips or bone spurs, pitchers are clueless how to react. If that doesn't say something to every coach at every level, then every coach at every level needs to quit. Because they're clueless as to how to react. To some degree, velocity is a drug. And the more you get of it, the more you want. And these guys are enabled by their youth coaches, by their high school coaches, by their college coaches, by their minor league coordinators, by whomever, by the major league guys who say, look, if you can throw this hard, you'll get drafted in the first round and you'll be a big leaguer by the end of the season. I mean, who gets drafted this year that makes it to the big leagues? It's relief pitchers who throw hard, right? Yep. They get drafted. They're in the big yep. leagues by the end of the year. Why? Because they throw hard. Not because a major league club cares about them. Because what can you do for me? And that's the issue. They're then clueless how to react. They can't, you know, the only guys you mentioned, the only guy on this staff that knows how to pitch is Bartolo Colon.
He's 100 years old.
He is. And it's interesting. The article says the only guy who's felt no pain this year is Bartolo. You know, I mean, he's crazy.
Plus, the rest of these guys don't have enough fat on them.
That's probably part of it.
It's too lean.
They are. They're too tightly wound. You got to have a little Bartolo.
You got to have some soft parts, man.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. You know, a few donuts here and there.
Bartolo's the perfect athlete.
Bartolo, he is Da Vinci's David.
That's right.
Yeah, just don't picture that for very long. But I mean,
keep him in uniform.
Yes,
in hell.
That's right. You know, but seriously, I mean, there's that Michelangelo.
Sure.
I don't know whichever one.
I was yeah.
Anyway,
I was gonna leave you alone.
It was Michelangelo.
Gotta have a lot.
Yeah, I get the Ninja Turtles mixed up, man.
You gotta have a lot of clay handy to do that cabeza, though. I'm telling you, with Colon.
All right.
Carlos Beltran Hall of Famer and the Hernandez Olerud deal. Want to do that for some old time fun next?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
All right.
I like that.
Is Carlos Beltran a Hall of Famer?
I got an interesting comp for you on him.
Sweet.
Got an interesting yeah.
And we're going to have a lot of fun with
may
comps.
May not be a good comp, but it's an interesting comp.
Coming up next. All right, we're going to let you hear from some of our great sponsors. Brad and I back. More baseball next here on 1340 WNBS.